Roseanne Rowe on Double J.
Had you ever been to Sydney before? Had you ever seen the Opera House in the flesh?
No, I had never been to Australia. So yeah, it was cool. I mean, it was definitely, I felt like a lot of responsibility to do something on the Opera House, you know, on a place that was so iconic, but that I had never been to.
It's going to be something that, you know, similarly to other years of the lighting of the sails, is going to have a very Australian tie. Is there a lot of kind of Australian flora that's been involved in the images that you're projecting?
Yeah, you know, when I was asked to create a concept, I was trying to figure out what would be uniquely Australian, you know? I mean, this is the most iconic building on Australia. I need to make something that responds to, that is site-specific. And so I started, my partner is a plant ecologist, and he works with native plants in California, studying the effects of invasive species on native plants. So I naturally kind of turned my attention to what the native flora were here. And actually, Los Angeles has quite a bit of Australian flora around in people's gardens and stuff. So we have kangaroo paws and bottle brushes and stuff. So I just did more research and found more plants that I thought would be uniquely Australian, but also easily identifiable by the general public, to be the palette of the whole piece,
the mainstream of the Australian flora.
Scene. Yeah, like the hair, the, you know, the waratah. And, yeah, I needed to choose ones that I thought, so many different types of people will be seeing this. I need to create something where I know that general public may recognize them, but to show that this, them something familiar in a new way.
It's interesting seeing some of the artists that are playing Vivid Live this year, because a handful of them you've actually worked with, and most notably, FKA Twigs is going to perform at Vivid Live. You're the man behind her incredible new video clip, Cellophane. It begins with her entering the frame in platform shoes. I think they're made of glass. She's on a glass floor, and then she does this incredible athletic pole dance.
Didn't I do it for you? Why don't I do it for you? Why won't you do it for me? When all I do is for you.
Before it goes into this fantastical world, which I'm still trying to understand. Came up with a concept for Cellophane?
It was a conversation between me and Twigs. I mean, it was her idea to do a pole dance video. She'd been training at that point for a few months, and she's such a seasoned dancer that she took it up really fast. She just told me her personal story for the past 3 years, you know, and all the ups and downs she's been through health-wise and romantically and also career-wise. And so I had the idea of, this is kind of like an Icarus story, where she's striving to be the most perfect thing to everybody, but she's set up for failure, you know, by the general public.
But I just want to feel your hair. And I don't want to have to share. Try, but I get overwhelmed.
That's why I kind of devised this as like a three-part story, where she enters, you know, a chamber where there's an unseen audience, and she performs for them and strives for perfection as she ascends upwards. So we have this heavenly world, you know, second, where she tries to strive toward this unattainable version of herself as this winged creature. And then she kind of, In trying to achieve that, she plummets and falls into a cave world beneath. So it's a fall from grace story. And so I kind of took her story and was able to articulate it in this kind of psychological dream world.
That final scene where she's at the bottom of this mud pit, she's again surrounded by people watching her. Maybe it's supposed to be open to interpretation, but I feel it as something that's sort of like a relenting, you know, a giving in, and maybe even a rebirth. Can you speak to anything if you want to give away the ending of the video.
Yeah, it's absolutely a story of healing. And I think anyone who, well, everyone has been hurt in some point in their life. And I think it's all about, the story is all about, it's not about stumbling. It's about how you fall and how you pick yourself up back up again. You know,
like
we all stumble. So it's a story about finding her human, you know, she enters the story hard and glossy and dressed to kill. And she ends the story covered in mud and really vulnerable and naked. And I think that's, it's a confessional story for sure.
You mentioned sci-fi as an inspiration, but what were some of the other visual cues and visual artists that you were inspired by when you're, you know, a young artist or a little kid when you're growing up?
I think Jim Henson was a huge one in the Muppets.
Welcome again to the Muppet Show. Yes.
And all of his later fantasy films, like The Dark Crystal.
You. Gelfling? Like me?
Well, yes.
But I thought I was the only one.
I thought I was.
Well, in Labyrinth, and I think those were hugely informative for me on what was possible with the medium. Dance, magic, dance, spell on me. I think I still strive to achieve that. Like, my dream would be to make the next Dark Crystal if someone would let me.
Is one in the works? Is there a plan?
I think the thing that I really am focused on is my first movie. That's what I'm working on right now.
What's the movie about?
It's a coming-of-age fairy tale about a young Chinese-American girl in the 1960s in Los Angeles who discovers a tiger living upstairs in her attic. So it's, it's like a psychological fantasy inspired by my mom.
Wow.
In her childhood. So, yeah.
That's really good elevator pitch, by the way. You've really, that's a very succinct sell to me for the film.
Yeah, cool,
I want to see this film.
Cool, yeah. I'm glad. Stay tuned.
One of the other artists that you've had a strong collaborative relationship in recent years is Björk, particularly on her Volnakura record. What is it like working with someone like Björk, who has got, from my viewpoint, such a strong vision of the way that she wants to portray herself in every sense?
Yeah. I think Björk is one of the richest collaborations I've ever had in my life, and also an icon that I grew up with adoring. So, you know, when I first started working with her, it's still and always will be a dream come true working with her. Like, I think she is the ultimate collaborator.
Mm.
She has worked with so many people through her career. So I think I learned a lot from her about what it means to be a generous collaborator. She always gives you enough steer to let you know what is emotionally important to her, but then there's also enough room to be nourished so that you can do your own thing. And she's quite tribal in that way. She kind of creates a community of artists around her, and we all kind of sing our tune, and you know, it amounts to ultimately what is, I think, a really rich universe. So I just feel very privileged to have worked with her.
There was a number of your videos and works of art that you'd made with Björk that appeared as a part of Vivid a couple of years ago. Obviously, you weren't here for it. This is your first time in Australia. But Björk Digital was an incredible experience. And one of the highlights of that was the Stone Milker video clip, which is a 360-degree VR universe. Can you talk me around the choices behind that experience? Because it really is kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure video clip for the viewer, isn't it?
Yeah, that the creation of that video was a wild ride because we were planning to do a music video for another song called Lion Song off that album. And then we decided at like, I think she and I had like a heart to heart, and at like, you know, 11 p.m. the night before, we were like, let's do a different song. And my producer at the time, Tamsin Glaston, had been working at Chris Milk's Verseworks. It was like one of the first VR production companies. And so we had a VR camera with us. And it's not like at the time, there wasn't a workflow for VR. But the rig we had was like with a custom 3D printed rig. There was no, you know, this was very DIY. And the song Stone Milker was written. It's the first song on the album. It's like Bjork realizing that her marriage is really no longer going to work. So I think it's a really like, it opens the album with this turning point in her relationship. And so, and because it has like a cyclical fugue like structure, you know, we thought, oh, well, this fits the circular format of this medium. And let's, you know, I think because that album was so personal, my instinct was, let's shoot this where you actually wrote the song. Mm. So we went to the beach where she actually wrote the song by this lighthouse.
Was it in Iceland?
It was in Iceland, not far from where she lives. And so that was the concept, you know. So I think there was a bit more of almost like a documentary approach, which I was excited about, because at that point I had done mostly very fabricated worlds, and this was nice to just strip it back and show it who she really is.
Very raw.
Yeah, very raw. So, you know, I really believe in being elastic as an artist to be able to work in the format that is honest to the emotional content. And the emotional content of that song was so raw and naked. So let's just show her, you know, sure, she kind of, if you experience the VR piece, she multiplies and stuff around you. But otherwise, it's a pretty pared down video, which I think was the right choice for that song.
Find our mutual coordinate.
Double J.